Welcome back to Schneps Connects. Today I'm joined by Kelly Gerber, who's the Chief Risk Officer at Municipal Credit Union. As scams and fraud become more sophisticated, New Yorkers are facing a growing threat to their financial security, from identity theft to phishing schemes and even AI-driven impersonation scams. At MCU, Kelly leads the charge in protecting members by staying ahead of these evolving risks and using innovative tools to safeguard accounts. Kelly's here to break down the latest fraud trends, share real-world examples, and offer practical tips every New Yorker can use to protect their money and personal information. So, Kelly, great to have you here.
Thank you, Josh. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, this is an important topic because I know myself, I get phishing emails, I get text messages all the time, getting phone calls on my cell phone all the time. I got on the phone with someone not too recently, and I have to tell you, I mean, these scammers were so sophisticated. But I got very close to sending them money, but thankfully I didn't. So I think it's really important to inform people on this issue. So really appreciative of you being here. And, you know, before we like hop into all the scams and phishing and everything people need to look out for, I would love for you just to maybe share a little bit about yourself and, you know, what got you into this role in your career.
Sure. A little bit about me. I'm a New Jersey native. I was born and raised in South Jersey. I'm a graduate of Rutgers University and of Rutgers School of Law. I have over 20 years in retail banking experience. MCU is my first credit union. Most of my professional experience has been in risk management at banks. But in early 2024, I did join MCU as their chief risk officer.
Well, listen, MCU is a great organization, and it seems like it should be pretty self-explanatory what a chief risk officer does. But what would you say is your day-to-day and core responsibilities?
I would say my day-to-day as chief risk officer, really no 2 days are the same. Some days, you know, I'm working with our board and our executive team to strategize, to make sure that we're taking smart risks that really align with our mission and our values. Other days, you know, I'm digging into the details, reviewing new product launches, or making sure our fraud defenses are holding up, or even helping the team think through how a process can be strengthened so that it doesn't create problems down the line. That's really more or less how the day-to-day looks like. I would say when you think about risk management, though, as a whole and as CRO, it's really less about being the person who says no, right? No, we can't do this. No, we can't do that. And more as being the person who helps MCU say yes, but in the right way. I think that's really the crux of the role.
Well, listen, challenging and ever changing keeps things interesting. So yes. I can say that happens in the news business as well. So we definitely have that in common, which is terrific. So, you know, many people are familiar with a lot of different types of scams, whether it's identity theft or ATM skimming. In many cases with the ATM skimming, it's where criminals will install like a fake card reader to steal account information. But as chief risk officer, you know these threats are constantly evolving. What are some of the most alarming scams that consumers in New York should be watching for?
Honestly, one of the most alarming emerging scams involves fraudsters who are using forms of deepfake technology that leverages AI to clone voices, often ripped from very short, 4 to 10 seconds in length, really, of audio clips that they gather online. And these clips are used to impersonate that member, that individual's loved ones, as though they are in distress. So the victims are receiving calls where an AI bot sounding just like their own child or their own parent is urgently pleading for their help, claiming that they're in jail, that they're hospitalized, that they're in imminent danger, and that they need immediate bail or access to emergency funds. And these scams are terrifyingly convincing. They exploit emotional urgency and familial trust. And they are urging this guttural immediate action before the victim even has a chance to think clearly. That's an emerging risk that's.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. I will tell you that me and my family were talking about it around the dinner table. And one of the things that we decided to do was to come up with like a code word so that we could ask, you know, if that were to happen, what's like the family code word to figure out if it's real or fake. I don't know if there's any suggestions that you can give people, because I have to imagine the AI is going to be able to match people's voices perfectly. So it's like, how do you distinguish the difference if you get one of those phone calls. So is there any sorts of advice that you can give, or people just something that they should think about?
Absolutely. So my advice is to really partner with your close family members to prepare for this, and using a coded question as a clue, something that only your family would know, such as, you know, agreeing with each other in the event that this should arise, to ask about a sweater that Aunt Joan gave you at Christmas. Are you warm enough? Do you have the sweater Aunt Joan gave you last Christmas? Scammers will either say, yes, I have it, or no, I don't, but they won't know that Aunt Joan does not exist. And that is the trick.
That's a good one. I like that one. So I imagine that a lot of scammers go after where the money is, and working at a credit union, there's money there. So what would you say keeps you up at night from your role as chief risk officer?
Oh, really, it's quite simple. What keeps me up at night is how quickly the technology has lowered the barrier for criminals to carry out deeply personal and emotional attacks on consumers everywhere, and how quickly they are evolving that technology to just become more and more sophisticated. And so the challenge for us is always, how are we going to keep up with them? And, you know, when I put my head on my pillow at night, I'm always concerned, what if we aren't moving fast enough? What if we aren't keeping pace? Because we don't know what we don't know, and we don't know what they're doing in the background. So it's always
I guess there's only so much you can do. And it seems that the scammers are usually one step ahead, or at least one step ahead of people that, you know, aren't getting, you know, information as much as they can be, which is great that we're doing this. So I would assume scammers are going after places where there's money. Scammers are going after places where there's a large congregation of people, New York being so populous. But scams and fraud are common and super sophisticated. But how does New York compare to other places?
So oftentimes people think that New York is kind of, or major metropolitan areas like New York are where scams originate. And while there might be some truth to that, the fact of the matter is that fraud tends to kind of originate more frequently in rural areas where tighter knit communities and limited resources can be exploited in different ways. What we do have in New York, though, is a higher volume of reporting and more diverse scam types. Now, that doesn't always correlate with a higher overall rate of fraud, but New Yorkers can absolutely be just as susceptible to well-run scams. So we tend to see that they incubate in a more rural area, but when they hit New York, it hits bigger and faster.
So, you know, going to alerts, we often see alerts on the NYPD about scams to watch out for. How do you feel that institutions like MCU can work with law enforcement to kind of create a unified front against these sophisticated city-specific criminal rings?
Oh, so while legally, we're talking legality, we may not be responsible for most fraud, but you can bet that institutions just like MCU, we want to protect our members first. So this is not just about protecting them as individuals, but making sure that we as an organization stay safe and strong, because we are a credit union. So our members are our shareholders. They own us. So we are actively involved in a number of intelligence sharing groups, both in the banking industry and with government institutions such as the NYPD. Also, we maintain relationships with the state attorney general's office and even the FBI. It all depends really on the scope of the crime that's being committed. But with all of these partnerships, with all of these various organizations, we can gather to share information about new scam patterns and specific threat actors. So it's really about recognizing that a scam that hits one financial institution will very likely hit another. And so the key really is working together. We can shut down these criminal rings much faster. So those partnerships are really critical.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You were talking about things that were keeping you up at night, being able to move fast enough. So how would you say, with all this sophistication in the scams, that financial institutions are responding and adapting?
Well, everyone loves convenience, right? That's first and foremost. Every member loves convenience. Every banking customer loves convenience. But scammers take advantage of that convenience. So our goal is really to help consumers to choose security while still experiencing the convenience that they desire. So for security, we add multiple steps, Maybe that looks like a callback verification on a transaction or placing a few days hold on a check that's deposited. In some cases, if a member is looking to withdraw a large dollar amount in cash or a check, that may require them to come in person. It can be inconvenient, but that extra friction is really a method to protect our members from losing potentially life-changing amounts of money to fraud. So we always err on the side of caution because, generally speaking, once the money is gone to scammers, it's never coming back. So one thing that we do, and what we've been doing a lot lately in terms of leveraging new technology, predictive analytics, and behavioral biometrics, big fancy buzzwords, right? Ways of saying that if you follow a pattern for a long time, a sudden switch in your behavior may signal to us at MCU that it's not you that's initiating a specific transaction. So we're using things like AI and machine learning to learn about you to help us protect you more.
You know, I went to a bank. It was not MCU. One of my banks to withdraw money. And I think it was like taking blood to get my money out. but it was fraud prevention. So, you know, I respected it. You know, a big thing is email scams. I feel like those are, you know, commonplace now. And, you know, people are told don't click on anything that's suspicious. But what other advice would you give people to protect their finances besides, you know, looking out for scam emails?
It's funny you ask, Josh, because I laugh because when I say this to my family members, they look at me like I have two heads. But my most counterintuitive advice is to hang up on your bank. So let me explain. So if you get a text or a call or an email from anyone claiming to be from your bank and they ask you for personal information, just end the conversation. Hang up. Immediately take out your debit card or go to the official website of your financial institution and call the number that is either on the back of the card or published on the website. Your bank may indeed need to call you sometimes. That's a fact. But they will never ask for personally identifying information, and they absolutely won't need to make you feel rushed to give them something right away. They will not put that pressure on you. A scammer's biggest weapon is creating that sense of urgency, and hanging up takes that power away from them. So,
all right, that's good advice. That's good advice. You get phone calls, don't give personal information.
Yes.
So a lot of other things are given to people with the passwords online and, you know, resetting them every so often. What would you say are like your top three steps that everyone should take right now to protect their accounts and personal information from fraud?
Oh, it's so simple. And then I'll break them down. So I'll say what they are, one, two, three, and right. then I'll explain them. So number one is pause. Number two is verify. And number three is protect. So when I say pause, as I've said, if you get an urgent call or text or email asking for money or personal info, just take a breath before acting. And then number two, verify the source independently, then with your bank. Don't trust anything you say on caller ID or links that you're emailed. Contact your loved one or institution directly using a number that they know and that you know to be valid. Number three was protect. So protect yourself and remember, please remember that 10 seconds can save you thousands of dollars. Slowing down is your best defense against any high pressure scam. So those are my.
Yeah. Listen, that's really good advice. And yeah. I think people really have to be careful because they're constant. They don't stop, these scams. I mean, they just continue one after the other. You know, one of the ones that I found out about recently was that some of our new employees were getting text messages saying it was me, asking them to go buy gift cards.
Yes.
So, you know, we had to put in, you know, our employee, you know, training in the beginning that we will never ask you for money. But it goes to show you, I was told that they're reviewing LinkedIn for people changing their job titles and then using that information. So it's really crazy. But if you think about it, with, you know, social media, a lot of our information is out there. So if somebody really wants to gather it, they can use it in a very negative way.
And they will. It's unfortunate, but they will.
Is there anything else that you can, you know, give as far as tips or advice or anything else that you would want to share as far as MCU's role in preventing scam?
Sure. Just a couple things. I would say first, it's kind of cliche as it has become. There's a lot of truth in it. If it doesn't pass your sniff test, if it doesn't pass your gut check, validate, verify, and trust your instincts. Secondly, when it comes to MCU, right on our public website, right on our public facing website, we do have a library that is available to everyone, members and non-members, that is a fraud library where we keep you apprised as to all the latest scams that we are aware of. Just to keep everybody educated, all New Yorkers can go and see what we're seeing so that you can take that further dive into educating yourselves and protecting not only yourself, but your friends and family as well. And if you'd like more information, we do invite you to visit MCU's website at www.nymcu.org. So please visit, please share that information.
Well, that's good advice. And listen, no matter how high our IQ, you feel really stupid when you get taken advantage of.
Yes.
So it's really important to be informed. And I think those three tips that you provide were terrific. And I really appreciate you taking the time to really share your expertise with all of our listeners so that they really protect themselves, their family, and their friends.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Kelly. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to be aware of future episodes, make sure to subscribe to Schnepps Connects. You can listen to my podcast on any streaming platform or on podcast.schneppsmedia.com.